I'm excited about the message. It is almost Shavuot, and it'll be tomorrow evening and for Shavuot. And the elders, we talked about it. Do we have a special service, or do we just have fun here today? And we're going to have fun here today, but tomorrow night is when you're on your own and you're in your quiet time and you're being family or with friends or doing whatever you're doing Sunday night to Monday. Be mindful of this and be mindful of what this is about. And I'd like to speak to it today. And there's a little bit of a buildup for it. Okay? And we've come for some time now, and this is where the verse starts. 7 weeks you are to count yourself from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. You will begin to count 7 weeks. Then you will keep the feast of Shavuot to Adonai your God with a measure of free will offering from your hand, which you are to give according to how Adonai your God blesses you. So here's the sequencing of days, just so we're all on the same page. Because I know it's one of these obscure places. If you're not familiar with in the scriptures, it's a big deal, but it's not widely read. And I want to make sure, again, that we're on the same page. There is a group of festivals that the Lord himself directs and commands Israel to observe. And Leviticus 23 is the primary source for these festivals, but they are in other places in the scriptures as well, including here in Deuteronomy 16. And there's other references and there's other things. The Lord is very, very smart. Do you know that? He is really bright. He is not like an average person. In fact, he's not like any person. And I say this because there's not words to describe how intelligent he is. He defines it. He is the source. You know, Einstein used to talk about the speed of light. He said, nothing can go faster than the speed of light, which is true because you couldn't measure that. We measure everything to the speed of light. Well, how do you measure something? It goes, there's no way to measure. There's nothing to compare it to. His intelligence, there's nothing to compare it to. And I say this because these high holy days, the feasts and festivals, these things that God himself directs us to command, have much, much, much value for us and a wide depth of meaning. And I believe truly the Israelites, way back when they got these in Moses' time, they walked them out in one way, but they didn't understand then what we would be talking about in 2025. And we're still looking at this going, whoa, amazing. And this to me is Shavuot today. There's so much to it that we often can breeze into. But let me set the stage with these events and how smart God is, because it's pretty great. Really, it's exceptional. First, Passover, Pesach. There's a sacrifice. And we remember this lamb sheds its blood, and blood is put on the doorposts of the houses of the Hebrews in Egypt. So the Lord, angel of death, would pass over those houses and everybody inside would be spared, but the lamb would shed its blood. And then from there he goes from that into the season of first fruits. And first fruits, and it sounds like really an abrupt kind of a turn in a way. How do you go from something as serious as surviving the blood and the angel of the death and going through all that, and all of a sudden we're in first fruits and we're celebrating the fruits of the harvest? But I think the fruits of the harvest meant a great deal to the Hebrews back then. They got to their land and they had the fruits of the harvest in that land, and the Lord was telling them how to take care of that and recognize that harvest. And we, you know, it's interesting, we go from that fruit of the harvest, the first fruits, and we're directed to count for 49 plus 1, 50 days after that. And to be mindful of all of that time, there's a big buildup. And to the very end, which is Shavuot. So Passover, fruits of the harvest, the first fruits, specifically first fruits. And then we go to the season, the counting of the Omer, those 49 and 50 days. And then we go into Shavuot. And it's a very cool progression, but there's a different kind of meaning for it for us here as believers, and that's what I'm going to get to today. But we have to know that the Lord's sequencing, even when it seems bumpy and it doesn't seem to go together, is this perfectly wonderful message for us in 2025. And there's a lot of relevancy for us here in 2025. Again, Passover, first fruits, counting the Omer for all of these days. We've been counting for all, I mean, since first fruits. When was first fruits this year? Basically, it's Resurrection Day. Some people call it Easter. And then here we are all this time later, and tomorrow night starts Shavuot. It's an amazing journey. So bear with me. We have in Shavuot, there's all different ways of traditions, all different ways of observing and being traditional about Shavuot. And it depends on what country you're in. The Talmud itself talks about Shavuot, but I'm going to call hooey on that for a minute. You bear with me on this? I'm not trying to put the Talmud down. I'm recognizing the Talmud isn't the scriptures. It came later. It's a man's book. It's a human book and has a different kind of a story to it. When God himself invented Shavuot, we see what the purpose was. It was to recognize, and I'll read it again, verse 10, that you will keep the feast of Shavuot to Adonai your God with a measure of free will offering from your hand, which you are to give according to how your God blesses you. So people would bring something from their field, and they would give it to God, and this would be a gift. And then there was usually a celebration wrapped around that. But that was all that the Lord had said. You take this, a free will offering from your land, from what I've given you, and you come and you give it to me. And that was it in a nutshell. This concept of the harvest, they had been building up to the Shavuot for 50 days when they finally got to have the party. And they finally got to do this last step. So they were mindful of it. And I do believe when the Hebrews left and they left that Passover time, they left the experience of the angel of death passing over, they go in the land and they're living on the land for 40 years before they finally got into their own land. I think they fully appreciated the harvest season. They didn't have it. And when they did have it, they had to count down for all those days. I think it was a big, big point. I mean, think about that. For us in our language, that's almost a month and a half of counting day by day by day by day before we get to bring the very last of it or this first fruits unto God. The last day. It's a big, big, big event. And there, I believe firmly that they were very mindful. The Israelites of that time were very mindful of what it was to have produce of the land, harvest of the land, and to know that it was giving back to God what was his, what he had already done the work in. And that's what Shavuot is for. It's interesting now when we hear of the traditions today and the different things that people do, how they're just man-made. They're not in the scriptures in that way. Flowers. This is why we have flowers here today. Flowers are a traditional thing in America anyway. And in parts of in Israel, really, people decorate their house with flowers for Shavuot. It's common in America and in parts of Israel to wear white on Shavuot. It's not a biblical command, but it's common. It's common to eat dairy. Today for Oneg, we've got a lot of dairy. Cheese blintzes, there's going to be ice cream and there's cheesecake. There we go. Not cream. That's a terrible pie. Cream cheese pie. But cottage, what did I just say? Cheesecake. There's going to be cheesecake. You get the idea. There's cheese. Cheese, 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 cheese. Somebody asked me a very good question. Well, what if we don't eat cheese? Can we have fruit? No, it's not traditional because we're remembering we wouldn't partake in the fruit back then. The tradition was not, the expectation was not to eat the fruit until it had been, eat from the harvest until it had been given to God. So we can't eat if we haven't given it to God. So today we're remembering that by eating dairy, we're not taking from the harvest. Got the idea? And if you can't eat dairy, consider it a holy fast. I say that affectionately, you know what I mean? But they're all traditions. It's traditional today to read the book of Ruth. To do it during the night, actually. Why the book of Ruth? All kinds of reasons. One reason is in the end of Ruth chapter 1, we see that Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi make it back to the land, make it back to Israel or Bethlehem in the time of the harvest. So in the time of Shavuot or in Omer, counting the Omer, sometime around that season, they made it back. So that's one of the reasons it's read. Another thing that's celebrated today, and this is a Talmudic interpretation. A lot of Orthodox will celebrate this way. Actually, most Judaism celebrates the giving of the Torah. This is the day that the Torah has been given. And I spent a lot of time looking to see, well, how biblical is the giving of the Torah in this day? It's actually a very weak case. It's not a bad thing to do. I mean, praise the Lord. Baruch Hashem. Hallelujah. God is good. He gave us Torah. Amen. Every time we walk to process the Torah at every service, we're saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is a good thing. But we don't know that this is when it happened. What we know is God said, when you have Shavuot, bring to me from the harvest that I provided to you. That's what he said to do. There's kind of an interesting story in Ruth, and in Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox, they teach that I really had a hard time with this. Sometime ago when I first heard about this, I thought, well, how can this be? How can you be so close and not see it? In Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox, they teach something called yichus. Anybody know yichus? It means pedigree. Pedigree. And what they say is, well, Ruth wasn't a Jew. Ruth was from Moab. And she was married. She married in. But she made a deliberate decision, and she makes this epic statement, where your people are, they're my people. And where you go, I'll go. And your God will be my God. And she did this willingly. But her yechis, her pedigree in Judaism, was horrible. She has no pedigree whatsoever. And it's taught today in Orthodox and ultra-Orthodox, particularly at this time of year and Shavuot, that it's this, that we know it's okay to please God with no yechis, with no pedigree. We don't have to have any background. We can come from a home that doesn't know anything about the Lord, nothing at all, nothing. But we go before the Lord with who we are and what we have, and we say, you will be my God, and I will follow you. And I will live for you all of my days. And that's good. He will make that pedigree in us. The Lord, I mean. So this is a good thing to remember in this day. They're all good things, but remember, God had a very specific call out for today. That to remember the harvest that I provided and give me some of what I provided in that harvest. Be active. You've got your part in the harvest. I've got my part in the harvest. Years later, we know that there's a broader, many of us know, I should say, there's a broader definition of Shavuot. Somewhere along the line, Shavuot kind of fell off the rails. It became a bit lost. When the temple fell is when it became really a celebrated time to accentuate the giving of the Torah, because there was no place to bring the harvest anymore. And that's why in Judaism, you don't hear as much about the harvest, you hear more about the Torah. Another thing that happened, of course, and this is the big thing, goes back to this, Acts 1. Now, while staying with them, this is Yeshua, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. He's died on the cross. He's risen from the dead. He's traveled with them for 40 days. So staying with them, this is where he's at. But wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me. For John immersed with water, but you will be immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh. Not many days from now. This is just before he ascends. He tells all of his boys, all of his Talmudim, his disciples, go wait in Jerusalem because the Ruach, the Spirit, is coming. So go wait there. So he ascends on day 40. They go and they're in Jerusalem for 50 days. And on Shavuot, that's when it occurs. On Shavuot, of all days. Now remember, God has a very specific reason for Shavuot, doesn't he? Here's what most people think Shavuot in churches. Here's what they think Shavuot is for. Now, they'll call it Pentecost, which means 50. It's kind of gotten a little bit off. Acts 2, this is the experience, by the way. This is what was spoken about through the prophet Joel. And in those last days, says God, that I will pour out my Ruach on all flesh, my Spirit on all flesh. As Peter's telling them what had happened, the tongues of fire appear over their head, and they're in the room, they're going, what's going on? And they're speaking in languages, and people understand, why are you speaking in my language? Why are you speaking in my language? It's a crazy experience in this room. That's when Peter stands up and he quotes prophets of Joel, that I will pour out my Spirit in all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my slaves, male and female, I will pour out my Ruach in these days. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Adonai will be saved. Remember, Yeshua said, go there And they went and they waited. And on day 50 on Shavuot, boom, the tongues of fire appear. Peter gets up. It's a crazy scene. Everybody's speaking these other tongues. And there's understanding going on in different languages. It's just a nuts, dramatic moment. And so what people will say is on Shavuot, on Pentecost, on 50, they don't call it Shavuot now. Most people in churches call it Pentecost. What they say is on Pentecost, when that happened, one of two things occurred. And they usually celebrate one of two ways. They celebrate, boom, the giving of the Ruach, the giving of the Spirit, they'll say. Or the other thing they'll celebrate is, boom, the start of the church. I struggle a little bit with the idea of the start of the church because the community of believers, remember the word church didn't exist in that point in history. They were just the community of believers. They were the kahilio, or in Greek, the ekklesia. They were the community. They were tight. They were in a room. They already existed. So I don't think that was the start of the church. But that idea, they're very pretty, so we encourage that. On the other one, yes, yes, it is true. He gave the Spirit on Pentecost. The Ruach came on Pentecost. He said it would happen. Yeshua said it would happen. Joel said it would happen hundreds of years before. And so we know that's true. But my question is, why? Why did he send the Ruach? Why did he do it? So I don't think that the church or the community started then. I do think he sent the Ruach, the Spirit, but why? Now remember, God is very smart, very bright. I think verse 21 gives us a clue. And it shall be that everyone who calls in the name of Adonai shall be saved. Peter delivers this epic message. And he goes on, he talks more in Acts 2. This Yeshua, God raised up. He tells them all the story about Yeshua, who died for them, who rose up, he got up from the dead. We are all witnesses. He says, we saw it happen. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and receiving from the Father the promise of the Ruach HaKodesh, he poured out this, what you now see and hear. So this is all about him, he's saying. It's an amazing message that he's preaching. And there's other people around who don't know. They had heard the voices. And I can't even imagine what the room looks like or how he's speaking out of a window. I mean, I can't. What is this? Where is he speaking? The room itself didn't hold a lot of people. But we know there was thousands of people who heard this message that day. Verse 37. Now, when they heard this, remember, there's thousands. When they heard what Peter had said, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the emissaries, the apostles, the Talmudim, the disciples, the ones who were in the room, they say, fellow brethren, what shall we do? They heard the message. They don't know who he is. They don't know who Yeshua is. They don't know. So Peter gets up and tells them, well, you know, he got up from the dead. We knew, we were told hundreds of years ago from Prophet Joel and then Yeshua himself to go wait in the room. And on Shavuot, on this day, the Spirit falls, and you know he's that one, and they want to know more. They want to know, what do we do? What do we do? Why did the Spirit fall? Why? Peter said to them, repent. This is why. Repent. Let each one of you be immersed in the name of Messiah Yeshua for the removal of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. For the promise is in you, or is for you and for your children, and for all who are far away. That's us in 2025. We're far away from that. As many as Adonai, our God, calls to himself. That's who the promise is for. I believe Shavuot is this. Are you ready for this? I believe Shavuot is a wonderful picture. And the Lord used, way back in his wisdom, way back with the Hebrews, he said, look, there are fields that I'm going to give you and I'm going to provide. You go do your part and I'll do my part. And we fast forward to Matthew 9. Yeshua's walking around and he said the fields are white under harvest. I believe that back then, the Hebrews back then, in that harvest time, they understood that message differently than us today. So when the Lord says on Shavuot, on the day they're celebrating the harvest and bringing to God what's his, recognizing about the fields and harvesting in the fields, I think it's an amazing picture to say there are fields that need to be harvested. and we have the Spirit empowering us to go do it. It's just a powerful picture, isn't it? The why. There are fields that need to be harvested. People need to know about the Lord. Peter stands up. 3,000 people came to faith that day with Peter's message. 3,000. I think that's quite an opening statement. Boom! I know we live in a time where it's not politically correct to tell people about what are those two topics, politics and, but religion. But we're not telling about religion, we're telling about the Lord who's risen from the dead. I don't really care about religion, do you? I care about the Lord who's risen from the dead. And I know that sounds like religion, but let's leave off man's religion and put on his religion. In other words, his son is risen from the dead. And Shavuot is about that. What a reminder. Okay, just a few things I want to pull out here today. These are not heavy things, but they're good things. Our part, his part. Our part, his part in the harvest. Number one, all of us believers, we are to share. Simple as that. We are to share. Romans 10. How then shall they call on the one in whom they have not trusted? By the way, this chapter, Romans 10, is bookmarked, or I say sandwiched between Romans 9 and Romans 11. You like my intelligence there? Romans 10 is between 9 and 11. And those three chapters are part of this. It's a cheat sheet way of looking at the scriptures of Jew and Gentile, slave or free, man or woman, young or old, having a path to the Lord. How it all works together. That's like the statement chapters of how it all works together in the New Covenant. Other chapters support it. Galatians, the book of Galatians, Ephesians 2, Psalm 22, Psalm 2. There's other Ezekiel 36 or 738. I mean, there's all these chapters that speak to Jew and Gentile and the promises of Jew and Gentile, but Romans 9, 10, 11 speak to it. And in Romans 10 is this passage that we're going through. And so bear that in mind. Paul is speaking to an audience of people trying to understand how this works together. Do we share faith with Jews or just Gentiles? How does it work together? In this passage, ultimately saying, you share with everybody. Everybody in the world, Jews, Gentiles, doesn't matter. You share with everybody. But I like how he says it. How then shall they call on the one in whom they have not trusted? And how shall they not trust the one they have not heard of? And how shall they not hear with somebody proclaiming? Who's going to tell them? Who's going to proclaim? They don't know. And how shall they proclaim unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the good news of good things. I want some beautiful feet. Do you? Or do you want those nasty, curled up feet? We got to tell them. It's us. It's us. It's us. It's us. Second thing that I want to pull out today. Somebody told you. Somebody told me. My mom told me. I was trying to figure out. I was thinking. I was just a little kid. I made myself feel sad with this. I thought, boy, my mom told me about the Lord. Wasn't that wonderful? I had all those people praying for me to come to know him. And then it dawned on me, probably there was nobody except my mom praying for me. My dad wasn't praying for me to know the Lord back then. I'll tell you that. But my mom probably was the only one. And that I was the only one praying that I would come to know the Lord. And then she was the one to pray with me. So my mom was the one person who did it all. What would I have without my mom? Amen? What would you have without the person who prayed for you? What would you have for the person who, if it wasn't for the person who told you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these people that you put in our lives that tell us about you. Bless them if they are here. So that's something that we remember here in Shavuot. Of course, it's the mission, the mission, the mission, the mission. But we can take a minute to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Mom. Now, see, by the time my siblings came around, I mean, I just believe my mom, but both of my parents had to gang up on the other ones. Tell them about the Lord. I'm kidding. No ganging up. They just want us to do it. Number three, here at Beth Messiah, we're committed to sharing this story. We really are. Do you know, this is a kind of a celebration for us, really. Today is as close as we get because, you know, the days don't line up perfectly every year. But this day is as close as we get, as crazy as this sounds, to 1 year in this building. That's right, 1 year. That's amazing. What do you think, Lori? Not bad, right? Went fast. 1 year. Wow. We are committed. Somehow, I pray all the time, Lord, we've got open seats, fill them with souls. I don't aspire to be big, but I want to do my part in telling people. So I want to be good at being a believer. I want to be a believer in the fullest way. I want to be a well-rounded believer. I don't want to just know the word. I want to tell of the word. I want those good-looking feet. I want to remember why we received the Ruach. I want to remember why God gave us Shavuot, among other reasons. So, Lord, we've got seats. Let us take the word out. First to the Jew, to the Gentile, everybody in between, whatever they look like. We are committed to it. 1 year, it's been a great year. Second thing I want to mention here, and this seems like a good time to do it, is we're committed to it. We're trying to build up our outside. We want to add a steel roof and a concrete slab. Some of you know that. We've talked about that for a while. We had a vision, kind of a drive to spend some money or to raise some money to spend money on outdoor resources, like a concrete slab with a steel roof, and we're going to put in a sand volleyball and a fire pit and do some of these things. So between us and our sister congregation, I'll tell you how it all turned out. You ready? We raised $19. No, sorry, that was something else. No, we raised $100,000. Pretty good. I'm very excited about it. We're going to spend almost all of it. But it's almost the perfect amount. And I go, well, praise God, you knew, Lord. You knew what we wanted to do. You knew we wanted to make a statement on the outside so people would know to come and we could talk about you. We could sit outside. We could have functions and festivals. We could have, cookouts, or we could have do whatever we wanted to do, you know, in the name of the Lord. But so that we would be responsive to carrying the word out. So that's going to be something that's coming in the future. We're working on drawings right now. In fact, we went to the village. We knew we did. Here in Menominee Falls, we knew we didn't have a really good drawing. But we went to the village and we thought, well, let's see if they'll take this drawing. And they didn't. They sent us back to the drawing board. So we'll make a proper drawing and go back at it. That's the first thing. We have to know the placement of this pavilion. This is basically, it's a steel roof with just a concrete slab. There's no walls or anything like that. But we had to know the placement of that so we know where the other stuff goes. And we still don't know the placement. Apparently, the village has some strict requirements on placements of concrete slabs. They want it set back so many feet from the road. And so if you're going to pray for anything, pray that they agree to our spot. We want to put it closer to the road than I think they want us to have it. Oh. God is very smart. Finally, you have your part. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about telling people about the Lord? There's a few reasons that people don't tell about the Lord. Three, I think, really common reasons. One, they're lazy. So I'll say it to your face. Some of you, if you're lazy, get over it, okay? Come on, get the game here. This is God we're talking about. Just get it done. Another one, they're intimidated because they don't have knowledge. Hey, do you know where the Ruach lives right now? In you. So go get there. Go find someone to tell about the Lord because he lives in you. You are good to go. You're going to make it through that conversation. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about the politically incorrect part of it. Which brings me to the third piece, third reason I think most people or a lot of people don't talk about the Lord. They're afraid of rejection. You're probably going to get rejected by some people. If sometimes they come back later on and they say, you know, I just want you to know you're right. Maybe it took me 8 years or 10 years or 42 years, but I just want you to know that you're right. They don't always even say that. They just show up again. But whatever it is, they want you to know that you're right. Sometimes you're rejected and you're just rejected outright. But what does that have to do with anything? He says, do it. He doesn't say do it unless you're rejected. He just says, let them know. Tell them the story. Matthew 28, Yeshua came up to them and spoke to them saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. This is Talmudim here. Immersing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Ruach HaKodesh, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go, 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 go. What is your part? So get in there. Amen? If you have never, ever met the Lord, the risen Lord, if you have never established a walk with the risen Lord, let today be your day. There'll be two men here, this man who's playing guitar, another man in the back. They'll be standing here, and they just want to pray with people if you're going through hard times in your life. But if you have never started a walk with the Lord, celebrating on Shavuot is, I think, the best day ever. The best day ever. So after service, come find one of the guys, introduce yourself, or say, it was me. I know you know me, but it was me, and I've never done it. So today I want to do it. It's not hard. You're not joining Beth Messiah. You're not paying a dues. You're not going to have your name sent out to the public. It's between you and him. And it's just a prayer. It's the start of a whole new life. You'll be asking the Ruach to move inside of you, and he will come, and he will change your inside. He will. Amen? So please stand up. Lord God, we seek you for all that you have. Anything that you can share with us, we would be blessed to receive. So we ask that you share with us. Teach us more of you. Teach us more of your promises. Teach us how you fulfill. Teach us how then to go share. How to tell. How to encourage. How to be good Talmudim, good disciples for you, Lord. Thank you for your lesson in Shavuot. Help us represent it well. Help us be worthy of the sacrifice. We know we can't do it, Lord, but help us do our part. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Yevarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav eliyecha v'yunecha. Yesei Adonai panav aliyecha v'yaseim lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. Be blessed. Praying is right here. Dairy is down the hall. Fellowship is everywhere.